This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Jennifer McCormick. Hello, Jennifer, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. And Jennifer, we're going to speak in your capacity as director of the Longmire Foundation. I mean, you are responsible for Longmire Days. We've just wrapped it up, I think, last week. Have you come up for air yet?
I slept for a couple of days and have eaten for a couple of days, and now I'm back at it.
Okay, great. Well, for those who don't know, I think I'm correct in this, and so, but you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Longmire Days is basically an annual event that happens about this time of year, so July or August time, and it's a celebration of the popular TV series Longmire.
Actually, it's a celebration of the books.
It's a celebration of the books.
Well, thank you. Celebration of the books.
But many people know it through the
They've learned about it through the TV series.
So thank you for that. And the books, of course, were written by local author Craig Johnson.
Yes, yes, they were.
And the series itself ran from 2012 to 2017, but I believe Craig writes a new book every year.
Yes, ma'am. We get one every fall.
Okay. So, and Buffalo basically serves for a period of time as the backdrop for the fictional town of Durant, Wyoming.
Yes, ma'am.
And so Buffalo becomes Durant, which is the town that features in the Longmire.
If you read the books, there are a lot of locals that are featured in the books by their own name, and there's some that aren't. But when you read the books, you're like, I know who that is. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, so there's a little plug, I guess. If you haven't read the books and you want to know who's who,
give it a shot.
Okay, so
I'm always encouraging reading.
Okay, so Jennifer, what's your involvement with Longmire Days been? You've been in Buffalo for a long time, I know.
Yes, 20 years now.
Even though your accent hasn't worn off.
Not yours either.
No, true.
I started working on Longmire in 2015. That was the first year I worked with the Chamber. Then I left the Chamber in late 2019, and Craig and Judy Johnson formed a foundation to plan implement Longmire Days.
Okay.
So that it would have its own home. It's an overwhelming event for an organization that has a lot of other stuff on its plate.
Yes.
So they formed a charitable foundation so that we could plan the event, put the event on, pay for the event, and what we have left, we donate.
Okay. So I think, am I correct in saying that Longmire has been appearing as an event since 2013?
2012, I believe, was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a well-known path that we've been going down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe you could just explain for people who don't really know, what exactly is the event and what actually happens during the 5 days it is?
We do 4 days now. It used to be three. We've extended it to four. Robert Taylor gets in town a little early, and he does events for us on Thursday.
So he's the main character, the sheriff.
Yes, he and Craig do. This year changed a little bit because of the SAG rules, Robin.
And we'll talk about SAG in a moment.
Normally they're doing events on Thursdays. This year Craig was carrying Thursday by himself. And he did a remarkable job, and the fans were so kind to us while we were going through all the difficulties. But we put on 4 days of autograph signings and question and answer sessions with Craig and the other attendees that come here. And we put on a horseback ride out at, we did one this year at TA and one at Paradise. We do a softball game, the Cowboys and Indians softball game. And this year one of the actors played in the game. He's a really good little softball player, too. But it's 4 days of just basically nonstop, action-packed Longmire all day, every day.
Just celebrating all the things. And I know that some of our local businesses, you know, kind of put up a Durant persona in their windows and so on, and have special Longmire merchandise, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you mentioned SAG. That's the Screen Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. They came into play this time because they're on strike. They recently went on strike. They joined the writers who've been on strike for a number of months. And it had a last-minute glitch, I think, for you this time round.
We did have a last-minute glitch, and it wasn't a small glitch either.
No, because the actors were supposedly not able to participate, but that was waived. So you were able to go ahead.
They gave us permission to proceed, is what they called it. And what we couldn't do was talk about the television series. We couldn't talk about their roles. They couldn't appear in costume, which they never do. They couldn't sell photographs of themselves in costume, which in the roles, but they don't do that anyway.
Okay. So, you know, This year, how many actors did you have?
We had 4 actors come.
And does that make a big difference to how many people you get to come?
I think it does. I think it does. It raises the expenses on the event, but it brings more people to town too.
Sure, absolutely. So how many people do you think it attracted this last
week? Well, I don't know. We were bigger than last year, but we're rebuilding from COVID, so it's just been getting a little bigger every year.
So can you give me a rough idea of numbers? Are we talking 500 people?
No, we think maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people.
Okay, that sounds quite a lot of organizing. You know,
that's quite a lot of organizing.
That's quite a lot of, absorbing for a small town like ours.
I mean, it is.
How do we absorb those? I mean, obviously, it brings in a lot of revenue because all those people are staying. They need accommodation.
They have to eat while they're here.
Yes, you know, they're shopping and so on. So there's lots of revenue, but how does the town prepare for that? What do you do to
What do we
facilitate that?
Well, we make sure everybody knows the dates ahead of time, and the merchants downtown and the restaurants, they're old hands at this now. We tell them about what we see on social media, what we think we'll be expecting, and they work around it.
Okay.
They figure
so,
it out.
What do you know about a typical Longmire fan? Is there a typical type of Longmire fan who comes?
Oh, I don't think there is. Our event is, we're drawing younger fans every year that come to town, and we just started reading these books. They're fabulous. We love them. And we have a lot of retirees, middle-aged, and now we're getting some younger ones. So mostly we're a little bit older crowd, you know what I mean? People in their 40s and their 50s and 60s. But they love Buffalo. They come here every year. When we did it in 2021, and most of our event was online, several hundred people still turned up in Buffalo.
Wow.
Because they said they already had it planned. They were able to travel. And they wanted to come. They wanted to come hang out in Buffalo when the event wasn't happening.
And that was in 2020.
That was in 2021. Because we still weren't completely out from under all the COVID restrictions.
Okay.
So we did a lot online. Actually, in Australia, wasn't out from under COVID restrictions. That's where Robert Taylor was. I think they shut down for about 2 years.
Okay.
And then we had a heck of a time getting him a visa interview to get him to 2022. So we went mostly online. Craig did some events here in town in 2021, and we had quite a few people turn up anyway.
So are there a lot of local businesses who are involved in Buffalo?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you find that you're pushing at an open door? Do they welcome Longmire?
Yes. Yes, the local businesses do, especially the ones that are directly affected by it.
And do you work with the Chamber and the Johnson County Tourism Association and so
yes,
on?
Yes, ma'am.
So to promote that. So
yes.
You're very actively trying to get people into our community.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's what it's about.
So I have to ask you, do taxpayers actually bear any of the cost? I mean, we're looking at a lot of extra. There's extra police, for example, who just need it, and their events and so on. You know, do you think that the taxpayers actually bear any of the overhead?
I think a little, but I think it brings in a lot of tax money as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's somewhat even.
Have you got any figures that sort of just look at sort of potentially what the expenditure per head is and so on?
Not for this year. Not for this year.
But previous years?
We have in previous years, and I can't pull those numbers off the top of my head, but we have talked with YDOT to see what the traffic counts were. You know, how much overtime the police put in and that kind of thing. And that's really how we judge it.
Okay.
And this year, our local police department was amazing. Our chief of police, at our auction when there was large amounts of money each day, he stayed with us the whole time. And he came to our volunteer orientation meeting and introduced himself to all the volunteers so that they would know who he was. So it was really great.
So I think people might be surprised at how much some of the items go for in those auctions. I mean, you auction off all sorts of things. Some things from the TV show.
No, not this year, nothing from the TV
show. No, so what were you able to auction?
Well, that was we were pulling everything from the television series, but we had a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle. Mm-hmm. And Craig always buys a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle and donates it to us. And that went for $5,000 in our auction.
$5,000?
$5,000 for a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle. And then we had Weatherby donated a one-of-a-kind custom rifle to us. And then Absaroka County Challenge coin was embedded in the stock, which it was a design from the book, from one of the covers of the books. And that sold for $10,000 during our auction.
So let's talk about the money for a moment. Mm-hmm. So people pay to join in with some of these events.
Mm-hmm.
and so on. And obviously they are paying for whatever they're using here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But how much money are you raising? You're a 501c3.
We're a 501c3. We get the event paid for, and then we keep just a little bit of operating cash through the winter, but we're planning. I work from home, you know what I mean? We don't have an office space that we pay for. We don't have a lot of the overhead that we pay for. We run it on a volunteer staff. And in our first year, in 2020, when we went online and we really didn't know what we were doing yet, because who did, we raised $25,000 for charity, which we thought was a pretty good amount of money for our first event online. Nobody knew what was happening with COVID. The next year, which was 2021, we came back, put on the event, let's see, and raised $41,575.
So that's basically, once you've paid your bills.
Once we've paid our bills.
And does that include sort of getting the actors here and putting them up?
Yes, it always costs me to get the actors. It costs quite a bit to get the actors.
Sure, but you said you didn't actually pay them themselves.
No, we do not pay them at all. We just merely pay expenses.
So what happened to that $41,000?
We donated in 2020, the money went to St. Francis Animal Shelter, and then we donated $20,000 to Canines for Warriors, which provides service dogs for veterans with PTSD.
That's right. Is that a local organization?
They are not local, but they are available to people here to apply
locally.
To.
Locally, okay.
Yeah, so they provide service animals for post-9/11 veterans with PTSD. And it's at no charge to the veterans. Mm-hmm. And then in 2021, we supported Creekside Performing Arts, Bighorn Climbers Association. And what they do is they take groups up and clean up in the mountains, pick up the trash and that stuff. And the hooks that beginning climbers will use when they're climbing, they replace those hooks and make sure that they're stable. And it causes less damage to the face of the rock. And I guess less damage to the climber, too, if it's not coming out while you're there.
But that would probably be an understatement.
Yes, definitely an understatement. We also donated that year $10,000 to our Johnson County Search and Rescue Group and National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, which combats human trafficking.
Yes, because we have a human trafficking problem north of us.
We do, we do.
Up on the reservation.
Yes, yes. And so we donated money to them to try to help combat that problem. It's an epidemic.
So how have you selected the organizations that you support?
Walt Longmire in the books is a veteran, and he is a police officer, of course, first responder. We like charities that have to do with animals and veterans and kids.
Okay. Can anybody apply to you?
Anyone can apply to us. They can say, hey, I've got this great idea, this charity is really deserving, and here's why. And we take that to our board, and they consider it, and that's how they make their choices.
And am I right in thinking you've had some involvement as well with the Friends Feeding Friends program?
Last year, we donated $10,000 for Friends Feeding Friends. They told us we met a fifth of their budget for the year.
Yeah, that's a very significant amount for them.
It is. It is. They do fantastic work.
And they're growing.
They are growing.
And helping. I mean, prices of everything have skyrocketed, and what we call food insecurity, basically meaning, you know, it's hard to make ends meet and put food on the table.
Exactly.
You know, is becoming more and more difficult for many people, and it's an amazing organization.
Oh, yeah, they do great work, and they do a lot. They do it almost all with volunteer work.
Okay, and also, I think, Buffalo Night Rodeo.
We support Night Rodeo. Well, we don't support them. We donate $5,000 to them annually.
Okay, so there's a whole range of ways in which the community, I guess, is benefiting. Mm-hmm. You have that expenditure. What do you project for this year? You had a good year.
We had a good year. Ticket sales were up 208% over last year.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Our board treasurer has still got the numbers, and she started working the numbers already. We're waiting for the bills to come in. Because sometimes it takes a minute to get all of those.
And so if somebody wanted a little piece of that pie, what do they do?
Well, this year we've already chosen our charities. Mm-hmm. They are St. Francis Animal Shelter. And we all know what they do. And then, well, it's a no-kill shelter. And then we selected Folds of Honor. And they provide scholarship opportunities for the spouses and surviving children of fallen veterans and first responders. And anyone in the country can apply to that. So it applies to our area, too.
Okay. So, thank you. So, I think the question is, will Longmire Days continue?
But that's what we're discussing now. We know we want to keep doing things in our community. We know Long Hard Days is good for our community. But it's just seeing, every year we look to see what we need to retool and rework.
Okay, so what kind of things are in the conversation right now about that?
Oh, nothing. All that's in the conversation right now is we need a nap. But I would be more than happy to come back and talk to you about that when we get those numbers in.
So what kind of things do you consider when you actually wake up from your nap after the event and you say, okay, yeah, let's go at it again? What are the sort of things you're thinking of?
Well, we contact our, this year we're going to contact all of our volunteers with a form. Mm-hmm. And they're right there on the ground with us. We have 20 to 30 really good volunteers.
Is that enough?
It is enough. We've found the people who come every year and have volunteered every year have learned this job right along with us. And they know what to do and they know what to say and they know how to handle themselves and handle things that might come up during the event and who to find. And now they know how to tell you how to get to Dash In and, you know, everywhere else in town. So, yeah, we handle it now with about 30 volunteers where it used to be 200.
Really?
At the height of the event, we were using 200 volunteers.
And why do you need so many less?
They're just learning so much, and we have the same ones every year now.
Okay.
You know, we get a new one every month. We get new volunteers, but we put them with an experienced one. By the end of the year, they got it. Okay. But we're able to run it with fewer volunteers because they have a lot of knowledge now. You know, the volunteer that's come 10 years probably knows the event, how to run different events as well as we do.
Okay.
Well, and they come here on vacation and work all weekend, which just amazes me, and I'm so grateful.
So they're not local people from our community. There's all sorts of people who actually come and want to be part of it. So they're fans themselves.
Yes, they're fans themselves, and they love what the event does, and they love the fact that it donates money to charity, and they're willing to give their time when they come here.
Okay.
They'll go pick up. We've had them before, one man picking up trash in the square for us all weekend. He said, I'll take that job. It was on one of the volunteer sheets, and he said, I'll take that job. I'll hang out in the square all day. Someone took a picture of him, and he pulled a garbage bag out of the big cans. And something had fallen out, and they said he literally crawled in the garbage can to get it because he was doing that job right.
Well, that's on and above, isn't it?
That was way above. I said, you don't have to do all that. But they just come here, and they love Buffalo, and now some have been here 10 years. And they come at other times of the year, too, besides Long Hard Days to visit. We get a lot at Christmas, and Craig does his Christmas readings.
Okay, so not just when Buffalo is Durant.
Not just when Buffalo is Durant. We get a lot of them in different times of
the
year.
Jennifer, thank you for lifting the lid on
Long
Hard Days.
We are an open book. Anyone that wants to contact us to find out any more information or maybe volunteer or donate, we had a couple that came last year, they worked the whole event with us. They have their own charitable foundation. They went home and they checked us out. And they came back this year and brought us a, they said, we're going to give you a $4,000 check to help with Long Hard Days. Just spend it, use it wherever it needs to go. So now we're getting that kind of return back on because now it's strictly a charitable event.
Okay. So that's all you do with the money? You just,
once it, as you once mentioned expenses before, are paid.
Okay. What are your expenses?
Travel for the actors that come here, lodging and food, things like that. And we do our volunteer t-shirts, that kind of stuff. We pay a timer to come and do the race because we found we get more entrance if it's a 5K that counts toward points. I'm not a runner. I've only had that explained to me. But different events in the event are growing too, so.
Okay, so maybe next year it's actually going to be more.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, I'm asking you at the wrong time of year, aren't I?
Can you give me a couple more months? But right now, I'm like, no, I think maybe the less. But, you know, it all depends on what our board decides and how the numbers came out this year. And then we'll talk to our volunteers and see what they think we need to change and tune up a little bit. Okay. We get a lot of great ideas during the event. So.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure fans have all sorts of suggestions about how you can improve, change, fine-tune things.
And a four-day event, that's planned by like three people all year, four people, sometimes four, you're always going to find something that's been, you're like, wow, we could have done that better.
Yeah.
We definitely could have done that better. You know, so yeah, that's what we work on every year.
Well, thank you very much for explaining what Long Hard Days is. I don't think you could be could have been in town last week and not known that Long My Days was going on, but maybe you didn't know all these details about what it encapsulates and really what it brings back to the community. So.
Yes, and you know, when it was at the Chamber is a membership organization. They're not a charitable foundation, so things ran a little different there and had to run a little different to stay within the IRS regulations, of course, but now we're purely charitable, and that's what we work on, is more giving in our community.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your time.
You're
and
welcome.
I wish you well for the rest of your recovery. You're in recovery.
We don't know how long that's going to last.
And you know, if you decide to get going next year, you know, good luck with that event too.
Yeah, we're very excited.
I hope
about
we can
it.
Come back and speak to you another time.
Yeah, we're excited to do something. Like I said, we want to keep bringing tourism dollars and charitable money to our community.
Okay. Jennifer McCormick, thank you very much
indeed.
Thank
you.